It's very interesting halacha when it comes to the night of Seder. We're told, you should set your table before nightfall in order that you don't can begin having the Seder immediately. And we're told, you should set the table with beautiful kelim. Even vafilu no tzachag matzos, vafilu kelim sheino tzarich lusuda, yisadrem yafeh lenoy al shulchano. Even if you don't need this for the actual meal itself, the goblets, the wine decanters, even if it's just lenoy, even if it's just for beauty, you should have it on your table. And as we know in source number one of the unique customs practiced on Seder night is to display all of our nicest dishes in silver. It is unusual because this ostentatious act is not permitted during the rest of the year, so it's to remind us the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But on the night of Seder, it is something that one needs to do. In fact, the Ma'aril notes, continuing in source two by the Squiggly, that if you have as a surety kelim from Goyim, you'd be allowed to even use them. Put them on your table on Seder night when normally you wouldn't be allowed to use them. And he continues the Sefer Chag HaMatzos, you shouldn't have a Goy. If you have somebody in your house who helps out, a housekeeper, they shouldn't set the table. A Yid should set the table, and you should set it in the most beautiful way possible. He notes in the footnotes on the bottom in source number 2, in source number 3a, he notes that it's best, if possible, to have Dafka silver Kiddush cups, because kos in gematria, numerical value, is Elohim, which is the midah of judgment of God. Kesef is silver. It's an aspect of love, as we'll talk about in Mirtz Hashem tonight, and that mitigates the severe justice. So it's better if we can have silver Kiddush cups. One should get dressed up like a king and queen. The children should be dressed up. The house should look like a royal house. And indeed, we know the Shekhinah is coming down, and we want to be as presentable as possible. It's interesting, in 3b, he notes a minhag of people who are Mechaber Svarim, who have published books, that the Torah is greater than Me'alfei Zahav HaKesef, the greater than all the gold and silver. So there were some Rabbanim who put their Svarim, with the books that they wrote, on their table. And finally, you should have beautiful flowers on the table. It should be a beautiful experience. And the question that we'd like to struggle with today is, what's the significance? Why is it that Dafka Seder night, or Seder nights, that we put out our finest, gold, silver, china, crystal, which we don't do during the rest of the year, even things we're not going to use? What's the significance? Now, I think, just as a backdrop to help us to appreciate this shiur, is we know that lahavdil in theater, that when you take a look, right, when the curtain draws, and even before the actors come on the play, the props, the scenery itself, tells you a lot about what you're about to experience. The props of the silver, the gold, enables us to get a sense of what Seder night is about. And what we'd like to try to present in Mirtz Hashem today is that this halacha of making your table nice is mamish giving us the directive and almost like the stage framework of what we should be thinking about during Seder night. So while we're reading the Haggadah, while we're discussing Divrei Torah, and we look at the silver or whatever we have on our tables that makes it special, and we don't have on a regular Shabbos or Yontif table, we should be able to ponder these thoughts and be able to engender within us really what the theme and what the mindset of what Seder night is about. I'd like to try to look at this really on three different aspects. Level number one will have A and B. Level number two will have A and B. And then we'll have level number three, Amir Tzashem, to be able to explain what are some of the significance of having these beautiful things. Let's start with level one, A. Rabbi Roberts in Timeless Season, source number 5. Why is Pesach different? Some suggest that since Pesach recalls the time when we came free from slavery and acquired the status of noblemen, It's only fitting to exhibit some evidence of our aristocracy, and that we'll talk about in level number two. Others propose that it's a reminder of the Rechush Gadol, the great wealth that we took with us when we left Egypt. Let's try to understand what this idea of great wealth is about. Idea number 1A. Perhaps the custom is based on a much deeper concept. On Pesach, we read the section in the Torah that records the splitting of the Red Sea to allow the Jewish people to pass through. There's a very fascinating Medrash. The Medrash says that the sea decided to split because it saw the Jews coming and they were carrying large quantities of the riches donated by the Egyptians. That's the reason the sea split? It doesn't seem to make sense. Further, we know that Hashem forewarned Avraham Avinu that his descendants would be exiled to this land, and they would suffer of afflictions, and then they would depart with great riches in their possession. The obvious question is gold and silver compensation for centuries of physical torture? What were Avram's thoughts when, in order to soften his anguish, he was offered, so to speak, a golden handshake? The solution to difficulties lies in a statement made by our sages and quoted in the Yalkut. There we read that our ancestors were ultimately redeemed from Egypt on account of their faith in Hashem. Emunah is the bedrock of our religion. With it, we have a future, whereas without it, we cannot possibly weather the storms of exile and persecution. In Egypt, too, it was the strength of their trust in Hashem that gained them their freedom. One of the finest and most tangible manifestations of this indomitable faith lay in the Rechush Gadol. The Jews were asked by God to approach Egyptians for the gold and silver, which they did. They knew, however, that their former taskmasters would soon regret having surrendered so much wealth and were bound to pursue them with a vengeance in order to recover it. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to ask them, please not, please ask, because by doing so, Klai Yisrael were putting themselves in mortal danger. Nevertheless, they had this implicit trust in Hashem. That is what was the promise given to Avraham Avinu, that your children will remain firm in their emunah. They will be capable of a tremendous act of faith. It's not that when he was told they would live Berchush Gadol, that wasn't the good news. The good news was the fact they were able to ask for the Berchush Gadol. They were able to ask for that wealth, knowing that the Egyptians would be hot in pursuit after them. Nonetheless, they asked for this wealth. Is it any wonder in Source 8 that the sea split for Klal Yisrael? Not for the wealth, my friends, but rather for the people that were ready to jeopardize themselves by following the Kodesh Baruch Hu's order. Likewise, on Seder night, when we display our nicest dishes in silver, it's not simply a show of wealth. It's intended to remind us of that indomitable emunah possessed by our ancestors and illustrated by the episode of the Rechush Gadol. It was this faith, more than anything else, that earned our freedom. My friends, idea number one. What is the goal of the night of the Seder? What are these props, so to speak, reminding us of? It's when we stare at that gold and silver, we stare at the china, we remind ourselves of the Rechush Gadol, the great wealth that the Jewish people left when they left Egypt, and the emunah that they had to be able to ask for this wealth. And indeed, as Rav Biederman points out in source number 9, Shesharish ta mitzvahs yitziyah mitzrayim hi kidei lashmish et emunah l'chol echad v'echad b'nei Yisrael. The whole point of leaving Egypt, the whole point of the Seder night, is to be able to inculcate this emunah v'yadatim ki ani Hashem, and you shall know that I am God within us. That's the point. And through this, you'll have a chizuk in your emunah and hashkachas habori yitbarach shmo b'chol prat u'pat hamidrachish ba'olam, that you will feel Hashem's presence in every aspect of the night. And he says, if a person is going to get dressed up in beautiful clothes and clean their house and sit at the Seder table, but yet not put any effort into working on strengthening emunah, faith, in ourselves and in those that are sitting at our Seder table, then we have been involved in rak b'tafel v'lo b'ikar, and that which is secondary, and that not that which is primary. The night of Seder, Notini min ha-shamayim enten siyu l'chol echad l'itchazek b'midat ha-bitocho. There is an energy charged in the air to be able to inculcate this level of emunah. Laila kayom ya'ir. The night is like the night is like day in terms of the clarity of feeling Hashem's presence. And as the Bilzer Rebbe notes in Source 12, while all year round we may try to give over, and we should try to give over these ideas, the seed is not able to be accepted as well. The most fertile time is the night of Seder. This is a night the kids are looking forward to. It has a special, you know, ring in the air. This is something all of us, years later, can go back to our childhood and remember the Sedarim of our childhood. This is something that is probably one of the highlights of the Jewish calendar year. This is a time that we're able to listen. And Smesuga Lashrish Emuna Tmima Belev Habanim, that we can be able to instill this into our children and being able to teach them this lesson. As Rabbi Lev points out in Festivals of Life in 14, the Torah says, L'man tesaper bosnei bincha, you should tell to the ears of your children. It has to enter their ears specifically. It has to be tailor-made to be able to impress them emotionally and intellectually. And that's why the Ritvan notes, the Torah's presentation, the fourth son, demonstrates the fact that the purpose of retelling the account of Exodus is not merely to tell what happened, but rather to impress the child with the foundation of belief. The father must tell to his child in the manner that will communicate these truths and relate to the individual personality of each child. It should affect him personally, tailor-made to his intellect and emotional personality. And indeed, as we've spoken about before, Rav Pinkus brings in his beginning of his Haggadah the idea that the three matzos, as we know, reflect the Gimel Avos, the three forefathers. And that's the Emunah Pshuta. When we eat the matzah, it's mamish eating the Michlo Demnusa, the bread of faith. It's mamish being able to take, and that's why for most of the Haggadah, the matzahs are uncovered. The Lechem Oni, the Lechem Shanim Alev Dvarim Harpe, the words of the Haggadah, the words of the Emunah go into the matzah. We become a chesa matzah, we become a chesa of Emunah, become part and parcel of us. That's the job of the forefathers, to teach us that intellectual aspect, the talking aspect, the knowledge of God. But the night of Seder is unique, that it's not just that intellectual aspect that's given across. It's also the emotional aspect. And that, as Rav Pinkus Atzal notes, is based on the Shlach Hados, that the four cups of wine correspond to the Arba Imahos. And the women are the ones, Shvabani Musar of Yichav Altitosh Torah Imecha, the Musar of Imecha. Musar avicham ve'alti tosh Torah imecha. The Torah of your mothers is the Torah of the emotional aspect, of feeling Hashem's presence. The wine is something yain yismach levav enosh, is something that makes a person happy. It creates an emotional response. The wine we know should be red. That wine represents kiadamu anefesh. It's the life force. It's the blood of a person. And that's why the wine is split up over the entire course of the evening. While the matzah is at one specific time of this before and the end of the Suda, the meal, the wine is the beginning of Kiddush in the middle of the Seder. And then after the meal, and then at the end of the night. Because the wine is the emotional aspect that has to carry us through all aspects of our challenges and travails of life. The night of Seder, my friends, as we look at that silver, and the silver is really something that almost reflects. We should be able to reflect on ourselves. When we drink that cups, do we have not only the physical aspect, but the intellectual aspect, but the emotional aspect? I drink that cup of wine, that cup represents the Ava, the love. And I ask myself, do I feel this connection? Do I recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu exists, not only intellectually, but emotionally as well? The first idea of Seder night is 1A, Rechush Gadol, is to remind us of the Emunah that they had, that we have to be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu first and foremost intellectually, and then be able to, V'yadata Yom V'Shevosa L'Vavecha, be able to inculcate it within us emotionally. That emotional aspect, well, the first is focusing primarily on the intellectual, the idea of the Emunah, it has to carry into the intellectual, which is 1B. Why do we recall the Rechush Gadol? This is a beautiful idea of Reb Tzadok HaKohen in 17a, where he speaks about a bit of a Kabbalistic idea, but work with me, it's very powerful. Why did Hashem ask them to take out their gold and silver. It wasn't just taking the physical possessions of these items. He wanted the nitzotzos, the sparks of Kedusha from these items, because kibichol inyan klipa yesh b'olam, mishukah b'tochah sad Kedusha. Everything in life has some aspects, some sparks of Kedusha. And that is why when Klai Yisrael took these items, they took these items and they were able to draw out the positive elements from it. Because we know that Mitzrayim was shtufei zima. They had a lot of love, but the love was used in an improper way. Klai Yisrael were able to take that love, kesef, nichsof nichsafti, desire. They were able to take that desire and take out the sparks and use it to desire a relationship with Hashem. Their ability to go after Kadosh Baruch Hu with that love, that lechtach acharav amidbar v'erzlos ruah, without asking questions to follow Hashem, is coming from the love that they drew out from those utensils. And that was the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Aaron Ravinu. The rechush gadol, what is the gadol? The gadol is the midah of chesed, the great aspect, the great midah, the great quality of goodness, of kindness, that there was misused in Egypt, that was able to be elevated by the Jews. And that, my friends, is the second aspect of the Seder night. If the first aspect is primarily emuna, the second definitely is love. I look at these items on my table and I think about how Klai Yisrael were able to take out those nitzotzos, those sparks, and be able to engender in them a tremendous love of Hashem. These items, these props on my table, also need to awaken within me the kesef, the silver, nichsof nichsafti, a desire for Hashem. And this is why Rav Pinkus, the Siva Shalom Zatzal, points out in Source 18 that we know that the night of Seder and Yom Kippur night have a lot in common, right? Both begin with Kol Nidre and Kol Chamira. Both have a kittel in the Ashkenazic tradition. Both end with Lashana Abab Yerushalayim. There are many connections between the two, but there's one fundamental difference. While Yom Kippur is a time of Yira, a time of awe, Pesach is a time of Ava, a time of love, it's a time to start afresh. It's a time to say, let me begin anew. What was, and now I'm going to have a new relationship with Hashem. It's going to be relationship based on love. If we take a peek in Source 23, the Sichos Bavadat Hashem Rav Meisels points out, that is something to think about. We spoke about this in the past. When we get to the part of the Haggadah, Mitchila Avdevar Sarah Yovaseinu, originally our forefathers were idolaters. And now Hashem has brought us close to Him. This is what we need to think about. That in the past we may have done things that weren't so appropriate. But we have to say, Matahava Hava, what was, Vasha, Mata, Andi Mikabel Alai O Machut Shamayim, right now. Vaksha, right now! Kirvana Makom Lavanaso. When is the right now? This moment at Seder. This moment at Seder, I take upon myself a renewed commitment, a renewed relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a tshuva me'ava, where Hashem jumps over all of our sins and is ready to connect with us. And that's what we need to understand. That's the imagery of taking the broken matzah with, in 24, the larger matzah. The larger matzah represents our neshama, that whole part. And the smaller broken part represents that broken part with us. And the two are able to work together where we're able to fix the past and work on the future. But in order to do this, my friends, if we go back to Source 20, Rav Pinkus Zatzal, he says that in order to do this, we have to be worthy of leaving Egypt. We would have to ask ourselves, if I were in Egypt at that time, would I have been one of the four fifths that did make it out? Or would I be one of the one fifth that did make it out? And what would be the determining factor? And he says, the determining factor is, am I a Yehudi? Im hayiti nimsa v'golo Mitzrayim, haim hayiti yotze misham? Haim avarti talichas ikuch olo? Would I have been able to be taken out? Do I qualify to be a Yehudi? Umahu Yehudi, the asterisk in 20, and what is a Jew? Sheyesh lo kisharon liyot b'kesher im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's that relationship with Hashem. Lo rak b'yidia, not only intellectually. Ela gam b'kesher shel ava zohu Yehudi. It's not only the matzah, it's the drinking of the wine. It's the emotional aspect. Liyot adam Yehudi perusho sheyishno hatama, I have a relationship with Hashem. Those four fifths had it good in Egypt after the Makos started coming. They said, why bother leaving? It's all going well here. They had no desire to have a connection to Hashem. Virak Elu, Shahaita Lahem in 21, the asterisk, Meshicha Likud Shabriku. Only those who were drawn to Hashem. Viratsu Latsei Mimitraim, Haim Yatsu, Vinasu Am Yisrael. They became Am Yisrael. And that's really the difference in 22, says Rav Pinkus Hatzal, between us and the Umos HaOlam. The nations of the world, yes, they have the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach. Those are sichlios. Those are intellectual. I can figure it out myself. Don't steal, don't kill, have justice system. But the emotional aspect, the relationship aspect, the ability to have matzah, like a wedding ring, which represents my relationship with Hashem, the mitzvot that represent love, that is what makes us unique. That's what makes us special. The night of Seder, it's not just a night to go through the motions and, you know, to have what we call Seder ritual. The night of Seder is to be able to make sure we work on this feeling of love. And that's why in 25, the Lekach V'alibov notes, V'ikar ha-ge'ula ha-ya-ge'ula zu shal ruchni shakla Yisrael, that we became Avdei Hashem, that we became the servants of Hashem. Halu Avdei Hashem, halulu et shem Hashem, yehi shem Hashem mevorach v'atavad olam. The name of Hashem should be praised, should be blessed from now and forever. To be able to be an Evan Hashem, to be able to feel the hallelujah, the ability to sing about this, that's what makes us unique. And that's the question we have to ask ourselves, my friend. And that's the goal of Seder night. To go through the entire Seder, as Pinkus Hatzal says, and wake up the next day and you're not a different person, you missed the boat. The night of Seder is to be able to look at ourselves, remind ourselves of that Rechush Gadol, and ask ourselves, Do I have within me that aspect of love that Klai Yisrael had? When I eat the matzah, which again is that the Sfarim described, the round matzahs are like the wedding ring. They restich li le'olam, they restich li be'emuna, that I engage Hashem with emuna, with this feeling of love, and this feeling of faith in Hashem. My question is, when I eat that matzah, am I able to find that part of myself that knows Hashem exists and that is emotionally connected to that reality? That's where I have to be out. I have to, when I drink that wine, to feel, wow, hallelujah, Avdei Hashem. The night of Seder has to bring out joy. Dance at your Seder. Become emotionally, sing, dance, do what you need to do to feel this and to have your children feel this. It's a night of experiential. It's not just a night to read the words. It's a night to feel it, to become it. You know, I'll share with you a personal experience. Not sure I should, but I will anyway, that happened to me this week that gave me such an insight into the relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. I have Bechasde Hashem, our 19-year-old daughter is in Brooklyn in a seminary this semester, and she's babysitting in Borough Park and at night. So being a sheltered Ramat Beit Shemesh girl, and I growing up as a New Yorker, and being a helicopter parent, I'm a little bit nervous with her taking buses from Borough Park to Flatbush, you know, at 7:30 to 8 o'clock at night. You know, she doesn't have 15 eyes all around her. She's a little bit more of, you know, in her own world. So I like to call her, you know, make sure she got back or have her text me that she got back. So I know she finishes babysitting 6:37, so I happen to wake up Monday night this week at 1 o'clock, And I called her. I figured, you know, 7 o'clock, she's on the bus. She didn't answer. So I texted her. She didn't answer. 1:30, no response. 2 o'clock, no response. 2:30, no response. Okay, I grant you, I was freaking out. Said the Tehillim. And this has happened before. And she keeps on saying to me, Ima, I'm okay. Just take a chill pill. I am not okay. She's in Brooklyn. I'm in Eretz Yisrael. Like, this is, okay, you're getting the picture. So at 2:30, when I don't hear from her, and I'm a little bit more than concerned and can't easily go back to sleep, I had this, like, really an epiphany. And I said, you know, this pain that I'm feeling, I'm worried, and I just want to hear her voice. She doesn't have to say anything to me. Just, hi, Ima, good night. That's all I need to hear. I said, this is a Sar HaShchina. This is a pain that Hashem must feel, kivyachol. You know, and I was thinking about the word of the Siftei Chaim by the Galus Yavon. Why is it called Galus, he says, when we were in Eretz Yisrael? Because Galus isn't just about a location. Galus is about exile. It's about our relationship with Hashem. You could be in Eretz Yisrael in Galus. You could be disconnected. And I said, this is what Hashem wants. He just wants us to, you know, call him, text him, say, you know what, Hashem, I just want to tell you, I love you. I'm here. I know you're concerned about me. I know you love me, and I know you treat me like an only child. You just want to hear from me. Hashmini kolech ki kolech arev. So at 3:30, when I'm like, okay, beyond, and I say, I turn to Hashem, and I said, Hashem, a person's only given what they can handle. I think I've hit what I can handle. She then calls and she says, oh, I forgot to tell you, I'm doing chesed for a few hours after our babysitter. She just forgot to tell me that. And I shared with her this fort. And she laughed. She says, you know, Ima, it's so true, she said, because I don't think about you. You know, I'm babysitting, and which is correct. She says, I turn off my phone because if I'm working, I can't be on my phone at the same time. It's gezel, it's stealing, right? So, she's correct in that. So, she says, the only time I think about you is I really want to take a subway from Borough Park to Flatbush, but I know at 10 o'clock at night, I say to myself, Ima won't let me take a subway, so I take a bus. So I do think of you, Ima, but that's about it. And I'm thinking, that's like with Hashem. Okay, it's an aveira, I can't do it. But you know what? That's not what Hashem wants from us. He wants, give me a call, just to say goodnight, I love you. Just to connect with him. Hashmini kolech ki kolech arev. And I think it's that element of love, that element of connection, that's what the Night of Seder is about. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol b'pamal yoshamalir comes down to our Seder table. He wants that expression of love. And that's what we have to give him more than anything else through the Haggadah, through the mitzvot of the night, to do it b'ava u'b'simcha. Which leads us, my friends, to the second level, which will also have a 2A and a 2B. So again, the Rechush Gadol on level number 1 is Emuna. On level number 2 is the Ahava. They took out the Nitzotzos, the sparks of love that wasn't used correctly, and were able to direct it toward Hashem. Second idea is also the Rechush Gadol, but from a different vantage point, 2A and 2B. In the commentator's Haggadah on Pesach, Rabbi Sender quotes the idea of Rav Yosef del Soloveitchik as to what, source 26, what was the great wealth actually consisted of that assured Abraham that when Bnei Israel left Egypt, they would not leave their state of bondage in the same degrading way that the slaves are free. And again, that was one of our original comments of what was this good news to Abraham. So again, the good news on the first level was at Muna. On the second level is that they were going to be able to take from the Rechush Gadol that attribute of Avraham Avinu of Chesed. On the third, it was promising him the way they were going to leave. And an ordinary slave is looked down upon in the eyes of his master, even if he's eventually free, he'll be sent away in disrespectful manner, accompanied perhaps by a few parting insults. The bracket in 26 says the slave would leave his state of bondage with a low self-image and very little self-respect. Hashem promised Abraham that when the time came, B'nai Israel would leave Egypt with a sense of dignity and self-worth. In the asterisk, in fact, just before they leave Egypt, the Torah tells us Hashem assured them they would find favor in the eyes of the people. They were no longer looked down upon, and even Moshe himself was held in high esteem by the people of Egypt. Thus, the promise and the arrow of the Rechush Gadol, the great wealth, and told not only great material wealth, but also they would leave Egypt with their heads held high with self-respect and honor. The Night of Seder, which we know, one of the major themes of the Night of Seder, we'll talk about Mirtz Hashem more next week, talk about many of these themes next week, is Hakaras HaTov, is gratitude toward Hashem. That when we see the gold and the silver, we're thanking Hashem. You could have just had us leave, Dayenu. But not only did we leave, but we left with what? We left with all of this great wealth. That not only that we had physical money, that's not what it's about, as much as our self-esteem. That we left feeling like we were royalty. And for that, we want to show Hashem our gratitude, how that small aspect, I'd be just happy to leave, just get me out of here. But you allowed me to leave with dignity? Hodu Hashem, that's part of the night, to show gratitude to Hashem for those fine extra details of the way we left. 2B is looking at this idea of royalty, the idea of the Rechush Gadol, from a slightly different perspective. And that's a very beautiful essay of the Manar Chaim, Rabat Yisrael Solomon Shlita Yisrael Asher Bechad Ba'ar, in his Sefer on Moadim. And he says in 27, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Yisadir Shulchano Yafeh Bekelim Noim, this is mamish how the Shulchan Aruch begins, or Rechaim Siman Tafayim Beis, you should set your table with nice kelim, kefi kocho, according to your ability, and you should set up a place where you can lean as a way of freedom. And the Gra there explained, that the beautiful items themselves are derecheiros. It's a sign of royalty. What's the idea that we left with great wealth? It's a sign of royalty. What's going on here? So he brings down a very fundamental idea. He says, this is in source 28, the Rambam tells us in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Vav, B'chol dor v'dor chayv adam l'arot ad atzmo ki luhu ba'atzmo yatzata m'shiba mitzrayim. A person has to see themselves as if they are leaving now from Egypt. V'zacharta ki evad ayita. And he notes here that this idea of seeing oneself as if one's left Egypt is not just of the night of Seder, but this is a mitzvah every single day that we should see ourselves as if we left Egypt. So the question becomes, what's the reason why we need to see ourselves that we left Egypt? And the answer is, Dimsan, the bracket 28, Deha mitzvah b'chol dor v'dor l'rod asmo kilu yitzah mitzrayim, eina rakidei lahodos l'halo, it's not just to give thanks, ela be'ikar kidei lahargish chova lishtabed kol atzmo l'avadato yitbarach, but to be able to recognize that we were freed in order to be able to be the servants of Hashem. As the Pasuk of Vayikra Kafhei Nun Hei says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim avadai hem asher oseiti otam eretz Yisrael. The taking out of Egypt from the base of avadim, from the house of slavery, was in order for us to become avdei Hashem, servants of Hashem. And that, my friends, is another goal of the Night of Seder. The goal of Emunah, the goal of having the love for Hashem, the goal of Hakaras HaTov, and ultimately all of this is to make us greater, Avdei Hashem, servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ramban, in fact, notes, very famous Ramban in Devarim, on the Pasuk Voso Tavo, that you should serve Hashem, that V'chol Masecha Yul L'Shem Shemayim. It's not like, you know, I relegate part of my day, and that part of it I serve Hashem. No. V'chol Masecha Yul L'Shem Shemayim means the entirety of my day, whatever I'm doing. I'm about to go on the treadmill, Hin Nimucham Zuman, to do the mitzvah of Nishmartem El Nafshotzechem, to guard yourself, to make sure you're in physically good shape. About to eat, Hin Nimucham Zuman, to be able to have strength to serve Hashem. Every aspect of our day is there to elevate ourselves. However, he notes in 29 that there are two ways to be an Eved. There are two ways to be a servant. One is, okay, Hashem, whatever you're asking for, I have to do. I have no choice. Okay, I'll do it. And the other is, Vayomer li in the asterisk, in 29, Avadai ata Yisrael shevachat par. I am the servant to which Hashem is glorified through my service. You know, it's like the service of a shamish to a rebbe. A shamish of a Hasidic rebbe doesn't feel himself in idea of shiflos. Oh, I'm a shamish. But rather, atzilos, I'm the shamish of the rebbe. That's how we have to view our service of Hashem. We could view it as, oh, or we could view it as, wow. And this is Mamish in Source 30. This is the idea of, we are told by Mamon Har Sinai, Vatem Tiyuli Mamelechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, we should be a kingdom of priests. And Rashi there notes, what does this mean? It means that Surah Shalah Avdish Kishu Kitsarim Hamishamshin Mimufnei Amelech V'Zeh Yisrael Shevachayim Aspire. What Rashi is saying is, I should view my service of Hashem as a servant, but a servant of royalty, a servant of the royal palace, not as a servant of, you know, ugh, I'm just doing windows all day. This is a pride, and whatever the king asks me to do, I wear this with pride. In order for us to be able to have this psyche and consciousness of pride, Hashem did us this favor, and he took us out with great wealth. So the great wealth in 2a is that this is a chesed of Hashem, a curse of Tov. In 2b, Hashem took us out this way for us to be able to look at our roles with chashivos, with importance. That when he took us out and he gave us great wealth, he's saying, I'm treating you like the royal army. I'm giving you, you know, special privileges. I'm dressing you up with a fineness because you are serving the greatest. And I want you to walk with pride in this new aspect. And this is the idea of 31. Why Avraham Avinu was told there to go out with great wealth. Because Avraham Avinu understood that both for the people as well as for the Kvod Shamayim, people respect people with wealth. Avimelech looked at him as the Seelo King Bekirbenu. Why? He was wealthy. That's the reality. So to be able, whether you like it or not, so to be able to, when I look at the Kalim Naim, whatever they are at my table, one person may have fine china, one person may have gold, one person may have silver, one person may have crystal, whatever it is. And if you don't have something, then go out if to whatever you can afford to buy something that will be your reminder, your Kosher Aliyahu, whatever it is, that this is the way I have to look at my Avodas Hashem. Not an ostentatious way, not to get lost in the physicality, but to allow it to enable me to feel with pride what it means to be an officer of the king. And tonight, to be able to sign myself up once again to enlist with pride. Halu Avdei Hashem, to be an Eved of Hashem. Wow, that's the most amazing thing. Hodu Hashem, what a schus, what an honor it is. The beautiful idea he brings in 32 from the Sabo Slobodka. The last Navi, Malachi, speaks about how the people are going to walk around complaining, saying, Shav Avod Elohim. It's a waste to serve Hashem, like who needs it? And the people then turn to Malachi and say, we never said anything like this. And explains the Sabo Slobodka, what is the dynamics of this conversation? And it's so applicable to every generation. You may not have to say anything, but he says if a person walks around with a sour face, and a person walks around doing mitzvahs like, you know, someone forced them to do it, and this is just like the most painful thing. Oh my gosh, I gotta go to shul. Oh gosh, I don't know how I'm gonna manage. That is a statement of Shav Avod Elohim, that it's worthless to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that is a great Chilul Shem Shamayim. And that is a great desecration of Hashem's name. We have to walk around showing that we are on Blachat Kohanim and Goy Kadosh, and that to do Torah mitzvot, we should walk around with a badge of honor and feel and express this aspect of love. Let's just summarize, and we'll take this idea one step further, and then we'll end with the final third level very briefly. Rechush Gadol, yep. The Emunah that they had, they knew those guys were going to run after them. They took it anyway. Emunah we need to have, the Night of Seder, that's the goal. Knowledge Hashem exists. They took the gold and silver, and they took out the sparks of love, and they channeled it to Hashem. We need to feel tonight, drink those silver cups, nichsof, nichsafti, and feel that emotional relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu in all aspects of our lives. Take that love, hashmini kolech, talk to Hashem all day, have a relationship with Him. 3, 2, 2a, it was a karsatov, thank you Hashem, we didn't walk out as schleppers. 2b, Hashem, thank you for giving us this wealth, because this is giving us a sense of royalty, and I sit tonight with a sense of royalty, but I'm mistaken to think it's royalty just in the physical sense. It's royalty in the sense of I am part of the king's entourage, and I am a servant of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And this indeed, as Rav Rut and Zatzal Sichar Eliyahu points out, that the highest accolade is 36, Yismach Moshe b'matnat chelko, ki eved ne'eman karatelo. What was the simcha of Moshe Rabbeinu? What was his greatness? Because he was an eved Hashem, to be a servant of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's why we go through in 35 the whole night of Seder, where we thank a Kodesh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Egypt, even though he put us in there, because we know that this is the goal. The goal of the Egyptian experience was in order to enable me to submit myself to a higher being. And this is our greatest challenge. We may know intellectually Hashem exists. We know that emotionally I should have this relationship. We may know that we have to have a Sakara Sato. We may know we have to be in Hashem's army. But what blocks us? 36. Ikar Yetzahara Ba'olam Hi Inyan Shel Lo Yagidu Lima Lasot. There's a Kshei Oreth. There is a stubbornness in us that it's hard for us to submit ourselves to be in Eved Hashem. There's a stubbornness in us that I want to do things my way. And there's a stubbornness that I have to submit to the way Hashem wants it to get done, and to the rudiments of what He requires. And that, my friends, is why the night of Seder is a night where we have such a stringency against chametz. In 37, what is chametz? Chametz is that idea the Gemara says, Ritzo galui v'yadu lefanecha shirotzoneinu l'asa ritzoncha. Hashem, you know we want to do your will. But ma'akev, what's stopping us? The sa'or shava'isa. That little bit of ferment. What is that, Yetzahara? That's that part of us, of gaiva, of I want to do things my way, and I want to, you know, have things the way I want to orchestrate it, and to be able to submit is so hard. Getting rid of the chametz and cleaning for Pesach now, and looking for those small crumbs and those small pretzels that those little fingers put in the strangest of places, like air conditioners, right? Turn it on at Pesach and have pretzels coming straight at you at your Seder table. Stories like this have happened. What is all this chametz searching about if we just search for chametz and we don't work on that inner work? We've missed the boat, my friends. Obviously, we have to search for chametz, don't get me wrong. But with that has to be, we're searching for those parts of self that don't want to be told what to do. We're searching for those parts of self that are puffed up with ego, with this is my agenda, and God either fits in with it or doesn't fit in with it, but my agenda is where it's at. Matzah is the humility. Ekev anava yiras Hashem. That's the matzah in the dot in 37. The matzah is about to be able to submit myself to Hashem. And that is why when I eat the matzah, and I eat that bread of Emunah, I find myself, as Rav Shur Zatzal, Rav Gedalia Shur, and Or Gedalia points out, I find that Nekuda Tamima in me, that pure part in me that's ready to follow Hashem on His terms. And I eat that matzah saying, I'm eating a mitzvah, I'm be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah, and I'm eating it in a short amount of time, even though it's difficult, because that's about following Hashem's agenda. This is about following Hashem's will. And when I eat that matzah, I'm expressing my connection to Hashem. It's that wedding ring. It's that love. It's the emotion. It's saying, Hashem, as difficult as it may be for me, I'm ready to let go and allow you to run my life. And this is the whole underpinning on 38 between the Rasha and the father. The Rasha says, what is this to you? Why do we need to do all these things? And the father said, if you're not ready to submit, if you're not ready to see that Torah and mitzvot have a beautiful system to them, the Torah and mitzvot is Hashem's perfect guide to make us into the best people possible. If you're not ready to submit to this system, then you wouldn't have been able to leave Egypt. Because this is what the whole experience of a relationship with Hashem is about. Hashem has created us, and He's created a guidebook on how it should be used. Just like if you use a machine in an improper way, you break the machine. Trust me, we've all done it. So too, if we use our lives in an improper way, we've broken Hashem's vision of what is best for us. This is what it's about. The night of Seder. Intellectually, I know. Emotionally, I know. I show gratitude. I become an Eved Hashem. And the pinnacle is complete bittul. Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. Accepting the yoke of kingship. A yoke is difficult. A yoke is a burden. Yes, it's all of the above. But there's no greater simcha than being Yisrach Moshe b'matnat chelko ki eved eman karatalo. There's no greater simcha than being that eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the goal of the night. So when I sing these songs at the end of the Seder, you know, whatever language you sing it in, Echa miyodea, Hashem Elokeinu v'shamayim v'aretz, and you could sing it 13 times, Echa Elokeinu v'shamayim v'aretz, allow it to penetrate. Echad hu Elokeinu. He is my God. Bashamayim mimal and ba'aretz mitachad. In all aspects of my life. Am I ready to submit? When things are difficult, do I dive into Hashem and I say, Hashem, I know you have a plan. I know your plan is the correct plan. Do we say Tehillim? Do we focus? Do we connect? Do we able to say, Hashem, I'm ready to live life on your terms, not just the way I want to? The final idea for today. The Lekach Valipov, Avraham Halevi Shor, source 40 note, based on the Chasam Sofer and Taurus Moshe, that how is it possible, totally different idea, how is it possible, level 3, that Rivka Imenu was able to take the clothes of Esav and give them to Yaakov Avinu to dress himself up to get a bracha from Yitzchak. They were given to her to watch. She had no right to use them. And the answer is that since it was the night of Pesach, she was therefore allowed to use that which was given to her. And we know, also a Laila, the end of 40, when Yitzchak blessed Yaakov Avinu, he said, Higi Alel Yom Tova Pesach. And it's the night when the Otros Talalim Niftachim, the pathways of Tal, of dew, are open. And this is the night, B'Shamayim Otros, Niftachim B'Shamayim Otros Gedolim Shel Bracha. Tonight is a night of tremendous bracha that a person can have yishba v'ruchnias u'begashmias. It's a night of tefillah, spoken about after eating the matzah, to be able to dive into Hashem and use this koach of this mitzvah that Hashem should answer us of all of our tefillahs. The Baruch Haim notes in 41, u'mepesach hazman mukshar mesugo ba'ol lispala l'parnasa. It's a gevaldic night to daven for parnasa that Hashem should give us and all of Beit Yisrael whatever we need, behetov lo be'isser, in a proper way, not an improper way, berevach v'lo betzar, that we should be able to study, learn Torah, because the shari shamayim are niftachim, the gates of heaven are open. So when we talk about, after eating the matzah, we talk about Gal Yisrael, the bracha at the end of Haggadah, Hashem shiridim us, it's at all times to David, Hashem, give us the shefa, whatever we need. But there's a much deeper idea here, my friends, and this is our final idea, Mirtz Hashem, for tonight. The Lekach Halibum notes that the idea of Yaakov Avinu getting dressed up, Maisav Otzim Labanim, it's not just that Yaakov Avinu happened to be wearing Esav's clothes on, happened to be the night of Pesach, and he happened to get the bracha on this night. No. When Maisav Otzim Labanim means that the Avos are mamish, living something that has a reality for us. Yaakov Avinu 42a, Da'ad L'doro She'yesh Shaychus L'chol Echa L'ashban Halayla. When Yaakov Avinu was ensuring that all of his children would be able to tap into tonight, Begada Bogdav, even the traitors, Shelo Yidach Menu Nidach, nobody should be pushed away tonight. Yadua Shiva La Pesach Yesh Kedusha Gedola Kokach. The night of Seder has a tremendous Kedusha. And again, that's why, like Kol Nidre night, even the most distant Jews somehow managed to have Seder night. Kol kasha kol echa yacholim so tikkun. Everyone has the ability to have a tikkun, to have a rectification tonight. And tonight is a night to bring emunah into every single type of child. Even the ben harasha, even the wicked child you can impact tonight. V'mikoach Yaakov Avinu, and the ability to impact the wicked child comes from Yaakov Avinu. Sheikh Niskoch b'layla zeh, sheyeh b'chola kolach ha'liyolo tikkun l'kabel shefa gadol shol layla zeh. How so? Because Yaakov Avinu took the brachos when he was wearing the clothes of Esav, which means that Yaakov Avinu, when he got the brachos, on the outside he looked like an Esav, and on the inside he was a Yaakov, to teach you that tonight we have to look at the panimios of every person, at the inside of every person. On the outside, they may be dressed a certain way. They may have attitudes. They may have all these, you know, cynical remarks. But on the inside, in their panimios, they're kulo tov. And that we have to be able to take that nekuda panimis, that inner part, and allow it to expand, and allow it to be able to be developed, and be able to bring that part back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'la'oros l'doros, gaf mishenu nikar la b'chitzon yeshu yudi. That even if somebody on the outside, at the end of 42b, doesn't look like they're so connected, even he has bracha coming down to him tonight. Even he has a koach, a mechila, and slicha. Lebal yidach menu nidach. Yaakov Avinu being dressed up tonight, my sabbat tzivu labanim, is to say tonight is a night of tshuva, tonight's a night of connection, tonight is a night of believing in each and every one of our children and not giving up hope. You know, I like to share a story, and then we'll end with one nekuda and for tonight, and summarize the ideas we learned. When I gave over the shiur this week at the OU Center, a woman came over to me afterwards, one of the regular shiur attendees, and she told me the following story, and I asked her if I could repeat it, and since I don't know her name, it really doesn't matter. You know, you wouldn't know who it was. I don't either, for that matter. The woman told me that her mother was 38 years old. The year was 1941. And she was living on the Lower East Side with her parents. Her mother was not religious and had, one of what we were just speaking about, an attitude, to put it mildly. And her grandparents, her mother's parents, were religious. And they were having Seder on the Lower East Side. And they got to the end of the Seder, Lashana Habab Yushalayim. And her mother turned to her father and said, oh, you know, like, rolling their eyes. Come on, you really believe next year in Jerusalem? Like, you know, enough of all this stuff. This is, you know, fanciful. And the father turned to her and said, you're right. Next year I will not be in Jerusalem, and I will probably never celebrate Pesach in Jerusalem. But I will tell you that you and your children and your descendants will be celebrating Pesach in Yerushalayim. And she said the following year her mother got married, and her parents were not religious, she said, but she became a Balas Tshuva. And she lives in Yerushalayim. And 1 year, shortly before her mother died, she joined her and had a Pesach in Yerushalayim. And she said three of her four children live in Yerushalayim with their children. And the father was right on the mark. I may never make it to Jerusalem, but you and your children and children, they, and her mother wasn't married then, and wasn't religious, will be celebrating Pesach in Yerushalayim. That, my friends, is the message of the Seder night, to move beyond the, and not get caught up in the attitude, and to be able to have that amunah, to see beyond, and to see the goodness, and to see the ability to return, and to see that nobody's forever pushed away, that even if a person may not be connected, their children, their grandchildren, could be connected. And that is why in 43, when Yaakov Avinu walks into his father's tent, Nichnas imo reach Gan Eden, and the smell of Gan Eden came with him. And the Pishnetzer Rebbe, the Baal Chavos HaTamidim, notes, Shebe'ed HaSeder Tzarech HaDam Largishka V'nimsa V'Gan Eden. We have to feel tonight as if we're in Gan Eden. That's the koach of Lala Pesach. This is the koach of a Kabbalah Sabrachos that that each and every one of us have. And that's, what does it mean to be in Gan Eden? It means to have this intimacy with Hashem. It means that we need to take that intellectual knowledge and be able to connect it with the emotional knowledge, with the love, to be able to the matzah, with the wine. To be able to have that hakaras hatov, that gratitude, to have that feeling of godless, of atzilus, of greatness, that we are the avdei Hashem, and to be able to use that in our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and recognize and believe that no Jew is ever too far gone, and that everybody, particularly on the Seder night, has the ability to start anew. Mitchilo of the Avodah Zarah. We may have been at the beginning of the Avodah Zarah. V'achshav kevano makom l'avarosa. But now we're connected to Him. When we look at those props on the table, when we look at those silver settings, let us reflect in those silver cups, let's reflect in those crystals, that love, that passion, that goodness, that relationship, and allow these props, this beautiful Seder table, to bring me, to engender within me this love, this Eved Hashem, and that when we come to the part of the Seder of the Hallel, of Hallel Avdei Hashem, we should burst out in song and dance, because this is the emotional relationship of Hashmi'ini HaKolech. Hashem wants to hear our voice. Give Him a call. Love Him. Express that, and be able to connect with Him tonight. That will change our lives forever.